Yellow letters and an exclamation mark spin suspended in wire frames shaped like speech bubbles. Pathé. A starburst of incandescent blue light expands and dissipates against a black background. Then letters fly in to form a logo. BBC Films. Based on true events. New York, 1944. Pathé and BBC Films present, with the participation of Canal and Cine, a QWERTY Films production, a Stephen Frears film. Meryl Streep, Hugh Grant, Florence Foster Jenkins. The New York City skyline lit up at night. A man in a dinner jacket is on stage, regaling an audience of diners.
Zwoons, I should take it, for it cannot be, but I am pigeon-livered and lack gall to make oppression bitter. Or ere this, I should have fatted all the region kites with the slave's offal. Bloody, bawdy villain, remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain! Oh, vengeance!
He ends with a dramatic raised hand. Sinclair Bayfield takes a deep bow.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That was, of course, a speech of Hamlet's from a play I was lucky enough to perform in on several occasions, though not as yet in the principal role. Our next tableau features someone who has devoted herself to the musical life of this city. Amongst others, she is patron of the Euterpe Club, of the Brooklyn Orchestra for Distressed Gentlewomen, as well as, of course, our very own Verdi Club. Let us journey back in time to 1850 and the state of Alabama.
The curtains open to reveal a man at a piano.
America's greatest popular songwriter, Stephen Foster, has run out of ideas. He's a desperate man.
The man at the piano rips up his music.
But wait! What is this? Now,
wearing an angel costume and playing a harp, Florence Foster Jenkins is lowered from the ceiling on a winch.
It is the angel of inspiration sent from on high!
Backstage, a team of men struggle to lower her towards the man at the piano. Then she touches the top of his head lightly.
At last, Stephen Foster can write his song.
I came from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
Sinclair encourages the audience to clap along. The men struggle to keep Florence suspended as she beams in delight.
Bravo! The angel of inspiration featuring Madame Florence Foster Jenkins!
Going very, very, very well.
I don't feel that I imbued the moment of inspiration with the intensity it deserved, but it was a serviceable attempt.
Better than serviceable. It was good.
My amulets, please.
Amulets?
Has the impending potato salad catastrophe been averted?
Even as I speak, the chef has a team out scouring Manhattan for chives.
No chives. What next, I wonder?
Unconscionable, I know, but they tell me there is a war on, Bunny.
Valkyrie's on stage, please. The overture has begun.
What about the sandwiches?
Ham and tomato, plain cucumber and chicken with a hint of Dijon mustard. Actually delicious.
Excellent. How do I look?
Wunderbar.
Now, schnell, schnell. Go on, quickly. You're a very naughty Valkyrie. We now come to the finale of our evening. I should warn you that the vision you're about to witness will be both shocking and terrifying. A battle is raging. Volleys of arrows pierce the air. Shields clash and swords do their terrible work. But swooping down from the clouds comes the most terrible specter of all,
Ladies and gentlemen, the Verdi Club presents The Ride of the Valkyrie!
The curtains open to reveal Valkyrie standing over slain soldiers. Florence strikes a pose, holding a spear and with wind ruffling her long blonde wig. Later...
It is my pleasure to present you with this small token of our esteem.
Oh, thank you. Shall I open it?
Yes.
Well, this is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you all so very much. You know, years ago when I founded the Verdi Club, I never could have imagined that I would be here tonight, 25 years on. With my beloved husband by my side. Music. Music has been and is my life. Music matters. And at this dark moment in our history, with our brave boys fighting for civilization itself, it matters more than ever. So I implore you to continue to support the musical life of this city.
Florence and Sinclair arrive home.
Good evening, Madam Florence.
Kitty.
How did it go?
Very, very well, thank you. Now, my bunny, you must sleep.
I don't want this day to end.
I know. I know. Shut your eyes.
Only if you recite for me.
Very well. Let me not, to the marriage of true minds, admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Mm-hmm.
Florence has fallen asleep. Sinclair nods to the maid, Kitty, to come in. Then he takes off Florence's wig, revealing a completely bald head. As Kitty goes to put the wig on a stand, Sinclair peels off Florence's false eyelashes. Then he tilts her forward so Kitty can place a pink turban on her head. Kitty straightens the covers, turns out the bedside lamp and heads out, while Sinclair stands taking Florence's pulse. He makes a note of it in a notebook on the bedside table. Then he bends down to kiss the sleeping Florence gently on the forehead. Now Kitty is helping him on with his overcoat.
Thank you, Kitty.
Good night, Mr. Bayfield.
Good night.
A taxi, if I may. Thank you.
In the back of a cab, Sinclair puffs on a cigarette. The cab pulls up on a quiet side street. Sinclair gets out and heads up the steps and into a brownstone townhouse. Inside, he takes off his overcoat and white scarf, dropping them to the floor. As he's rifling through some mail, a young woman comes through a door behind him.
Welcome home, darling. I'm a tad drunk.
Oh, lucky you.
How's Florence?
Magnificent.
And you?
I would say I gave an adequate performance.
I wish I could have come.
How was Augustus's play?
Oh, terrible. Finish it. I'm teaching first thing. The oculist with bad breath and two left hands, both of which tend to wander.
Kathleen kisses him.
I love you, Sinclair.
With the knobs on.
Morning. And Sinclair brings a breakfast tray in to Florence.
Good morning, Miss Rabbit.
Have you seen the reviews, Whitey? Carlton Smith in the musical Courier says it was the event of the season.
Well, it jolly well was. Now.
No, put it on the table. I'm getting up.
Bunny, that's not a good idea. Last night...
On the table, please. We have to plan the very lunch.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. You can't put Mrs. James O'Flaherty next to the Baroness. She slurps her soup.
Oh, well, then let's serve smoked trout, because I doubt that even Mrs. O'Flaherty could slurp a trout.
The very luncheon always begins with a soup. You know that. How could we not begin with a soup? There would be a riot.
In that case, let us put her over here on the card table between Mr. and Mrs. Levy. Perfect.
No, Mrs. O'Flaherty isn't keen on the Jews. We'll put her between Prince Galata and Mrs. Oscar Gamunda.
No.
Yes. They're both deaf as posts.
No.
Yes. Maestro Toscanini is here. Oh.
Charlie, a cup of coffee.
Do show him in, Kitty, please.
Please come in.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Arturo, what a wonderful surprise.
You don't mind me visiting unannounced.
Oh, no. La mia casa e la tua casa.
Oh, I have a little gift.
Oh.
My recording of the bell song with Lily Pons.
Oh, Arturo, how very thoughtful of you. Thank you. You know, we are so looking forward to that concert. Are the preparations going well?
Very well. Though there are some financial matters that remain problematical. Madam Florence, without your help, there will be no concert.
As Florence is putting on the record later...
How much did you want?
1,000, but he gave me a record.
Florence takes Sinclair's hands. Lily Pons, singing at Carnegie Hall. Florence sits in the audience watching, with tears in her eyes. Sinclair is by her side and turns to her with a smile. Lily Pons is young and beautiful, with curled dark hair, bright red lips, and a flower in her hair. Florence watches, entranced, the emotion of every note visible in her face as her mouth falls open and her tear-filled eyes widen. In the cab home later...
I haven't heard a voice that good since Caruso.
Extraordinary little thing, isn't she?
Can you imagine what that must feel like? To hold nearly 3,000 people in the cup of your hand.
Mm.
To share such profound communion.
Mm.
See Carlo Edwards from the Met?
No.
Well, he was seated to our right. We gather he's coaching again.
Oh, is he now, Bunny?
I would like to take some more lessons with him.
Then I shall phone him first thing in the morning.
I shall need a pianist.
Yes.
Someone young. Someone with passion.
Now at home, Florence sits watching a pianist with disheveled hair. As the pianist's fingers move furiously over the keys, Sinclair smiles at Florence, who seems to be finding the music unbearable.
Oh, my hat!
Not passionate enough?
He's raping my ears. Make him stop. Make him stop.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Ziegler. Thank you, Mr. Ziegler. Thank you. Very good. We'll be in touch.
Sinclair shows him to the door.
Thank you again.
He strides over to a row of men sitting, waiting.
Gentlemen, the chairs are not for practical use. You have been told. Cosme McMoon?
That's me, sir.
Come.
The small, skinny, dark-haired Cosme doubles back to fetch his briefcase. Now he's at the piano.
What should I play?
Well, I really don't mind, as long as it's not too loud.
Cosme readies himself. Sinclair looks at Florence, whose face softens as she listens. A small smile plays about her lips.
What lovely.
Out in the hall.
What is he playing?
Some sassos bullshit.
Yeah.
Florence bites her lip, looking tearful. Then she gets to her feet.
You know, when I was 16 years old, my father told me that if I didn't give up music and marry a dull banker, he'd cut me off.
That's true.
Sorry, so continue, Mr. McMoon. Of course, he didn't understand musicians. We'd rather go without bread than Mozart, wouldn't we?
It's not even a choice for us.
Of course, he did cut me off, but I got myself a little apartment in Philly, and I made a living teaching piano to children. And we'd play the Swan, and that was my favorite.
Great story.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Of course, he came round eventually, and then I was back in the will.
Yes.
Florence listens, moving her head gently to the music. Then she leans forwards.
Well, I must say, I think you're absolutely ideal.
Did I mention that I also compose?
And he also composes.
Yes, I'm sure he does. Well, you know, there are some other candidates to hear, Bunny.
Hmm? Oh, do you know any of them?
I do. They're all rather heavy-handed, I'm afraid.
Son of a bitch.
Madame Florence regrets that she's unable to hear any more candidates today.
It's unbelievable. Now, I trained at Juilliard.
I'm so very sorry.
Why?
You're not her type.
Now, I must warn you, I work very hard. I study an hour every day, sometimes two. And my father didn't leave me as much money as everybody thinks, so I couldn't pay you more than 150.
A month?
A week. I'm not destitute.
Now Cosme's alone with Sinclair.
A few pointers as to how Madame Florence does things. You will note that she carries a leather briefcase with her at all times. Mm-hmm. You're not to touch that briefcase or to inquire as to its contents.
Right.
In the hall, Madame Florence keeps a collection of chairs in which people of note have expired. They're not for practical use.
I understand.
She abhors all pointed objects, so don't smoke in her presence or hand her a knife or anything like that. Are you fond of sandwiches?
Yes.
Good, good. Madame Florence is inordinately fond of sandwiches and potato salad as well. When we throw parties, we make mountains of the stuff. Mm. It would serve you to consume both with enthusiasm.
I shall.
Good morning, Patrick.
They climb into the elevator, which travels down to the foyer of the hotel.
So, here is a week in advance and a teeny bit extra for a new shirt.
Thank you.
You know, if you can forgive Madame Florence a little eccentricities, you will find her to be a most generous and delightful person. Ours is a very happy world. Welcome, Mr. McMoon. Tomorrow morning at 9. Don't be late.
I won't, sir.
Good.
Cosme leaves the hotel, struggling to hide the smile from spreading across his face.
Good morning.
With dark, wavy hair, a prominent nose, and wearing a slightly oversized light brown suit, he sets off down the busy street, brown briefcase tucked under his arm. Morning, and Kitty shows Cosme in.
Mr. McMoon is here.
Oh, do come in, Mr. McMoon. This is the talented young man I was telling you about.
How do you do, Mr. McMoon?
My vocal coach, Maestro Carlo Edwards, assistant conductor at the Metropolitan Opera.
How do you do, sir? I saw you conduct La Boheme last season.
Oh, no, please don't remind me.
Carlo. He's kidding.
I've learned everything. I'm virtually off score.
Good. Then let's get started. Here we are. The bell song.
Oh, isn't it a little early in the morning for lark, May, Carlo?
Not for a singer of your ability. Whenever you're ready, Mr. McMull.
Sinclair takes a seat to watch.
No. A little more allegretto, please, if you don't mind, Mr. McMoon.
Sorry.
Cosme's face falls.
Raise the soft palate. Good.
Cosme looks over at Sinclair in disbelief, but Sinclair just smiles.
Use the air. On the breath. Project forward.
She glances over at Sinclair, who mouths, "Very good." Carlo glances at Cosme. Cosme raises his eyebrows as he watches her. Then he looks expectantly at Carlo.
Think of the mask, Florence.
Carlo!
Lo squillo.
Lo grom mimoso.
The voice is in the mask.
Con la luna se giova. Lo grom mimoso. Le longue l'ore rose.
Yes.
Revonde da se giova.
Yes.
She grins round at everyone in delight.
Stop there. There's work to be done.
Carlo steps towards her.
But you've never sounded better.
Oh! Yeah.
Maestro, it is true that a lot of singers my age are on the decline, but I seem to just get better and better.
I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, I am so blessed.
There is no one quite like you.
He kisses her hand.
Onwards!
I thought you were off score.
Did you enjoy the class?
Very much so.
Yes, she's remarkable, isn't she?
She is.
I thought you played very nicely.
Thank you.
Good. Same time tomorrow, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Cosme steps into an elevator full of people. As the doors slide shut, he struggles to contain his laughter. With his back to everybody, he bends forwards in a fit of giggles. He He fights to regain his composure, a gentleman behind him eyeing him in distaste. The doors open and everyone streams past Cosme.
Find a breath, Florence.
Sinclair arrives back at the hotel apartment with dry cleaning.
That poggio! Lean into it! Expand your diaphragm, Florence! Breathe! Breathe, Florence! Good! Good!
Like a bird.
Faintly the old music box plays.
Wonderful.
Florence smiles as Sinclair arrives with groceries in a brown paper bag and kisses her on the cheek.
One word. Authenticity.
Maestro, do you think I'm ready for a concert?
You'll never be more ready.
You have been absent from the stage for far too long, Bunny.
Mr. McMoon, do you think I'm ready?
Sure.
And perhaps I shall perform a monologue. Or not, or not. I shall start to make arrangements.
Obviously, I'll do my utmost to attend the concert, but I'll be away in Florida at some point.
Oh, when?
Let me know when you fixed a date. One other thing. Since I've been working so intensively with Florence, I've rather neglected my other students. It might be best if we were discreet about these classes. I'd be mortified if Madame Florence become the focus of any envy.
Well, thank you so very, very much.
Oh, she spoils me. But then she spoils us all. Doesn't she?
Enjoy Florida.
I will.
Sinclair goes back inside. In the foyer, Cosme gets up.
Hi. Mr. McMoon.
Could we speak, Mr. Playfield?
Yes, of course. What is it?
Well, I thought I was being hired to accompany Madame Florence's lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, Mr. Bayfield, I think Madame Florence might need a little more preparation before she sings in public.
Well, we've been rehearsing for a month.
Well, I know, but from time to time, she can be a little... flat?
Flat?
A tad. Just a tad.
Carlo Edwards didn't mention any flatness, and he is the leading vocal coach in the city.
Jeez, Mr. Bayfield, we can't be talking about the same singer. I mean, her vocal cords, they don't phonate freely. Her phrasing is haphazard. As for her subglottal pressure, it defies medical science.
Is her instrument quite what it was? Perhaps not. But as Beethoven said, a few wrong notes may be forgiven, but singing without feeling cannot.
Mr. Bayfield, is there any way I could do the lessons, but not the concerts?
No, I'm afraid not.
But I have my reputation to think of.
Really? And what reputation is that? No, if you want to go back to playing for tips in a steakhouse, be my guest. Oh, Cosme. Florence is very fond of you. She's paying you well, and she knows, well, she knows everyone.
But Mr. Bayfield...
And she has sung in dozens of sell-out concerts. She has a magnetism that her followers adore.
I understand that, but what if less... educated members of the public show up.
All right, we must exclude the hood amendment and ensure that only true music lovers gain entry. These events take all kinds of careful preparation.
Out on the street, Sinclair talks with a man, handing him some money. The man nods and hurries off. Then Sinclair strides over to Cosme, opening up a notebook.
So, five down... and two to go. Have you attended one of Madame Florence's concerts before?
No, but I heard all about her.
Yes, well, I'm afraid we're giving priority to Verdi Club members at the moment.
But I came all the way from Brooklyn.
I'm so sorry. Next, please.
not a music lover. You take over $2 a pop. Mr. Stark, how very nice.
Yes, Mr. Mayfield.
Yes, thank you for calling back. The poster, president and founder Florence Foster Jenkins, that should be larger, 28 point.
If asked, your favorite composers are Mozart, Verdi, and Beethoven.
Phineas, try to get this through your fat head. I am not interested in your bullshit music club, okay?
Agnes, please.
My God. September 4th, Saturday night at 8 p.m. Oh, I do so hope you can be there.
Well, unfortunately, we are rehearsing.
Oh, Saturday night.
Well, we rehearse all the time.
Oh, my yes, God. Of course you do.
It's Toscanini, the conductor.
I thought it was Toscanini, the anchovy paste salesman.
Huh? Really, the line below that should read, directed by Sinclair Bayfield, eminent actor and monologuist. Eminent, yes.
This is for Mommy. Kiss Monster. Look at Monster!
Thank you, Mr. Lipschitz. Thank you very much.
Sinclair, who is that vulgar woman?
The new Mrs. Stark, I imagine.
What happened to the last one? Who is that man, anyway?
Phineas.
Hmm.
He sells meat in cans. Very wealthy.
Very generous. Yeah, I understand Agnes isn't a member. She's new to the world of classical music, but she's very keen to learn.
Well, in that case, I think we can make an exception. $4, please.
Thank you so much.
A whole world of pleasure awaits you, Mrs. Stark.
Well, you can never have too much pleasure. Right?
Right.
So, that is 2 tickets for the Levy's, dollar change. Now then.
Oh, Mr. Bayfield, I am so excited.
Well, we all are. I have put you in row E, Mrs. Vanderbilt. E for elegance. $4 if I may. Excuse me.
Thank you.
Florence hurries over to him.
They're getting through the potato salad like gannets. Is there any more?
Let me check. How's it going, Kitty? Are we running low?
I think we should be fine, Mr. Bayfield.
Very good. I'll take that.
Thank you, Mr. Bayfield.
Kitty's kneeling by the bath, which is full of potato salad.
There's an Errol Wilson here.
Send him in. Thank you, Kitty.
Through there.
Errol Wilson, the New York Post.
How do you do, Mr. Bayfield?
How do you do? I read your column. It's great fun.
Thank you.
What brings you here?
I was hoping I could get a ticket for the concert.
Well, I'm afraid we're all sold out.
Oh, Carlton Smith from the Musical Courier has got one. So has Stubbs from World Bugle.
I'm not really sure it's an event that would interest the readers of the New York Post.
My editor would disagree. There's quite a buzz around town about it. He sent me down here himself. So, can I get that ticket?
Why not?
Thank you.
Sinclair slips a ticket into an envelope, tucking some money in with it. Then he hands it to Wilson.
Voila.
I just need the ticket.
It's both or neither, Mr. Wilson.
Then I'll trouble you no more. Good evening.
Good evening.
Nighttime, and Sinclair arrives at Kathleen's apartment, letting himself in.
Augustus is here.
Ah, what a surprise. How are you, Augustus?
Couldn't be better.
I hear your play was a triumph.
I am a second-rate playwright, and we all know that. But I'm a first-rate friend, the latter outweighing the former, I feel.
With Lobson.
So, is it really true?
What's that?
Madame Florence is taking to the stage once more?
Yes.
It's been too long. How much are tickets?
I'm afraid we've already sold out.
You can't be sold out.
I'm so sorry.
Sinclair, don't be a silly ass.
Yes, don't be a silly ass, Sinclair.
The concert is for true music lovers, not mockers and scoffers like you and your artistic friends.
When have I ever mocked or scoffed? The lady is an eloquent lesson in fidelity and courage, and that's why we love her. Please, Sinclair, do you want to see a grown man cry?
Be a sport, darling, and I'll make it up to you.
No, I'm sorry.
Please.
No, non, niet.
A hall is filling with guests. Sinclair greets Augustus and Kathleen.
You're very lucky to be here. You've made promises, and I'm holding you to them.
I've brought some friends, music lovers.
We'll see.
I'm watching them carefully.
Carlton Smith and Mr. Stubbs, we're greatly honored. I hope you enjoy the evening.
We will, Sinclair.
Fingers crossed.
Tell the ushers downstairs that absolutely no one gets in without a ticket, no exceptions. And if Earl Wilson turns up from the post, they politely show him the door.
Mr. and Mrs. Stark, how very nice. Will you forgive me? I have an important nose to pass.
Cosme peers out from behind a curtain.
God!
All set?
Yes.
They are going to adore you. You have my word.
Cosme dabs nervously at his forehead. The guests are all seated, with Augustus and Kathleen in the back row.
Too many feathers, you think?
The perfect number of feathers, restrained and elegant.
I'm so nervous, Whitey.
Oh, don't be.
Are you nervous, Mr. McMahon?
Somewhat.
You have a full and very warm house, and you are both going to be sensational. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Break a leg.
He kisses her.
House lights, please.
This is what we live for, isn't it?
Cosme smiles, dabbing his face.
This moment.
The curtains open. Cosme and Florence, who's wearing an apricot satin gown fringed with feathers and an ornate tiara, both bow to the rapturous applause. Cosme takes his seat at the piano, glancing uneasily at the audience. Sinclair slips into the auditorium. Augustus starts to chuckle.
My feet so disarming, my waistline so slim and charming.
With her platinum blonde waved hair, Agnes Stark watches Florence in disbelief. One elderly lady is watching through opera glasses. Agnes's mouth falls open.
For God's sake, woman, keep quiet.
He laughs. Shh. Pray, excuse me.
Agnes starts to laugh, and Sinclair makes his way towards her.
Be quiet.
Is she unwell, Mr. Stark?
A coughing fit.
She needs fresh air. This way, Mrs. Stark.
Agnes crawls out on her hands and knees, helpless with laughter.
Control yourself, Agnes.
Your love is short-sighted.
In the foyer, Agnes is doubled up on the floor.
I am so sorry, Mr. Mayfield.
No, not at all. I wish you a speedy recovery, Mrs. Stark.
She is the worst goddamn singer in the entire world.
Things always embarrass me.
Sinclair slips back into the auditorium. He spots Augustus shaking with laughter in the back row. Sinclair comes to stand behind Augustus and Kathleen. Sinclair notices people struggling to contain their laughter. Augustus leaps to his feet. Florence beams out at the audience. while Cosme gets to his feet self-consciously with a sigh of relief. Later, at the after-show reception...
Sinclair, congratulations. What a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Madam.
Mr. Bayfield, I don't hear very well, but I just think Madam Florence is magical.
Well, I know how very grateful she is for your friendship and your support.
Oh, thank you.
That little McMoon.
I'm so very sorry. Just one moment.
What a fine.
The Donovans, how nice.
Good evening, sir.
This is from Mrs. Wonderful.
Spectacular. Darling, the Fledermaus was
magnificent.
Absolutely thrilling.
Is everything all right?
I don't feel very well, Whitey.
Let's get you home.
Kitty helps Florence in.
Dr. Hertz is in Washington, but he sent his colleague Dr. Herman.
Dr. Herman listens to Florence's chest in bed.
If I may, please.
She sits up, and the doctor's face falls as he looks at her back. He removes his stethoscope.
I didn't have time to look at your medical notes.
The scarring is from syphilis.
When did you contract the disease?
On my wedding night. My first husband, Dr. Frank Thornton Jenkins. Something of an alley cat.
How old were you?
18.
Where did the chancre first appear?
It was on my left hand, right here.
Are you taking any medication?
Just the mercury and arsenic, of course.
Any other symptoms?
No.
She has seizures from time to time when she has overexerted herself.
I see. Well, there is a murmur and some palpitations, but no indication the disease is entering the tertiary phase. The 2.5 hours of coloratura you performed this evening might account for the tiredness. Bed rest until your strength returns. I'll speak to Dr. Hertz and let him know.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. I've known patients survive 20 years with syphilis, but never nearly 50. I'm amazed. What is her secret?
Music. She lives for music.
And no doubt your love has proved to be a panacea, too.
We were fortunate to have found each other.
Clearly. I don't mean to pry, Mr. Bayfield, but how is your own health?
Florence and I have always abstained.
Very wise. I have several patients who observe the 5-year rule, but it's no sure prophylactic.
Well, from the start, Florence felt that my health was paramount.
Excitement stimulates the disease. She needs rest, Mr. Bayfield.
Rest!
Sinclair comes to find Florence awake in bed. He steps across the darkened room and perches on the bed, leaning over Florence. She turns and smiles at him.
Rest, my love.
I can't help wondering what my life would have been like if I'd never met Frank Jenkins.
He's in his grave now. Forget him.
But I could have given you a child. We could have been a family.
We are a family. A great and devoted family. United by our love of music. Are we not happy, but... Shut your eyes, I'll recite for you. Bright star, would I were steadfast as thou art, not in lone splendor hung aloft the night, and watching with eternal lids apart, like nature's patience.
I think I'll read.
Oh, good night, my
love. He kisses her. Now he pulls up outside Kathleen's apartment in a cab. He steps inside.
Recital at the Ritz-Carlton.
and the consensus was that she'd never sung better. Her grace and brilliant personality only added to the remarkable quality of her voice. By the end of her performance, the stage was a bower of blooms, and Madam Jenkins retired to affectionate applause. Make that thunderous applause.
Sinclair steps into the living room, where a party's underway, with Agnes Stark amidst the dancers.
Oh, everybody, look at him!
Bravo! Bravo!
Kathleen rushes to Sinclair's side.
Darling. Oh, you don't mind, I invited the showgirl. She is simply adorable. Darling, the concert was wonderful. How is Florence?
She's absolutely...
Well, I couldn't not invite her. Would you like a drink?
In a minute. Oh.
He heads through to Cosme.
Hey, Mary.
Cosme!
Good evening, Mr. Bayfield.
Cigarette.
No, thank you. I hope you don't mind me being here. Your friend Kathleen was most insistent that I stop by.
You're very welcome. You have a drink? Mm.
Maybe I should get home?
No. You stay where you are.
This is all a little awkward. I mean, I thought you and Madame Florence were married.
We are.
But you live here with Kathleen's. Is just she your sister?
Oh, she's my girlfriend.
Oh.
It's a little complicated.
Yes, it is.
But Cosme, you have nothing to worry about. Florence and I have an understanding.
Madame Florence, she knows about Kathleen.
Well, she understands that love takes many forms.
Oh.
And believe me, there's no shortage of love between any of us. Surely you can see I'm devoted to Florence. Our marriage is a thing of the spirit. It transcends this realm. Yes?
Yes.
I'm very fond of you, Cosme. Think of you as a chum.
Oh. That's kind of you, Mr. Bayfield. Mm. Seeing as we're talking in a familiar fashion, could I possibly ask what it is Madame Florence carries in that briefcase?
No.
No?
Now, what do you say we grab ourselves a couple of Manhattans and go and join the Hepcats?
Okay.
He brings Cosme into the living room with him.
Hi. Mr. Corbin's friends are all so personable.
Yes, I bet. Here we are. To a friendship. In one. Go.
As they down their Manhattans...
Hey, Mr. Bayfield, I want to see you dance.
No. My dancing days are done.
Dance, Sinclair, dance. I want to see you dance.
No, really not, no.
Sinclair spins round, then swings his way over to Agnes, who's shimmying in a halter neck dress. He takes her hand, spinning her round, and they start to swing dance. A man puts his arm around Cosme's shoulder, pouring another cocktail into his glass. Sinclair and Agnes mirror each other's moves, then join hands and spin and kick along to the music. They pull back, then Agnes jumps into his arms, and he spins round on the spot, then sets her back down. They mirror a series of comical moves, waving their hands in the air. Then Sinclair encourages everyone to join in. Cosme stands on the sidelines, smiling and sipping his cocktail. Sinclair starts a conga line through the room. The next morning, Cosme's dozing on a sofa. Cosme's woken up.
Sinclair! Wake up!
He jumps to his feet.
I got something to show you!
Cosme quickly pulls on his trousers.
Sinclair, are you in there?
Sinclair's naked in bed with Kathleen.
Oh, golly. Mr. Bayfield? Wake up. Madame Florence is here?
What?
That's her at the door.
Wake up.
What's the matter?
It's Florence. She's here. Stall her. Stall her.
Get out of bed. Out of bed. Up.
Pulling on his braces, Cosme walks hesitantly to the door.
Sinclair, are you there?
Just a moment, Madam Florence.
Who is that?
Oh, it's me, Mr. McMoon. How are you?
Mr. McMoon, what are you doing here? We open the door at once.
She sees the state of the room.
Oh, my hat. Sinclair!
Madam Florence, please, please.
Whitey!
Honey, how very, very nice. I was just reading a little early Austin, quite fun. May I offer you some tea?
What is going on? Why is Mr. McMoon here?
Well, he lost his house key, so I put him out for the night.
Oh, but what about the mess?
There's a mess?
She pulls him into the living room.
Good God. But when I said help yourself to a nightcap, I meant one. Well, just look at the place. Hmm? Look what he's done, Bunny. Aren't you going to chastise him?
Well, I am very disappointed in you, Mr. McMoon. I do not approve of drinking. What got into you?
I'm very sorry.
Never again, Mr. McMoon. You understand?
Reviews.
They're simply marvellous. Come.
Agnes tiptoes down the corridor in only her slip.
Here, down below.
And the consensus was that she'd never sung better. Her grace and brilliant personality only added to the room.
Cosme spots the dishevelled Agnes coming into the living room. Florence has her back to her, so Cosme quickly hustles Agnes out again.
Was retired to thunderous applause. Bravo, Bunny. Bravo! Bravissima!
And I've had a simply darling idea for the Christmas gift for the members. We're booked for 11 o'clock.
Booked for?
It's a surprise. So continue your ablutions. Quickly. Got a cab waiting downstairs. And bring McMoon with you. I've been looking for him all morning.
I shall.
Just hurry.
Yes. There in a demi-semi-quaver.
He runs to a cupboard.
She's gone.
This is just ridiculous.
I am very, very sorry.
I shouldn't have to hide in my own home. It's humiliating, and there are rules.
I think she was just overexcited.
You are to speak to her.
Yes, that's a very good idea. I shall say, Florence, although you pay the rent on my apartment, would you mind not visiting?
Oh, shut up. I won't go on living like this, do you understand?
Kathleen slips on a dressing gown as Sinclair watches her sheepishly.
What am I doing here? I'm willing to show Sinclair, but I need some dignity.
Of course. I'm so sorry. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. I don't know how. Why don't we go away for a few days, yes? Golf? Hamptons? Good idea?
Cosme's throwing up.
There you go.
Oh, good Lord.
A yellow cab pulls up by Melatone Recording Studio.
Here we are! Here, this. We're going to make a recording and give a copy to the members for Christmas. I'm so excited.
It's a wonderful idea, but Dr. Herman was very, very specific about excitement.
Oh, so, for me. Come along.
Come on.
Like a bird on the wing, like a bird.
In the control room, a man in headphones flinches and looks up at Sinclair in shock. Like a disc spins as the recording is made. The needle on the volume indicator goes off the scale.
Wonderful, Bunny.
Sinclair and Kathleen head off in an open-topped car on their golf trip.
Flipping hell!
Kathleen, try the front. I did suggest it earlier. It's a little shorter and a little easier.
Yes, I like this one.
And slightly to the left.
Yes.
And swing as though through molasses. Oh, yes!
Hitting the ball, she leaps into Sinclair's arms. At home, Florence is busy wrapping one of the records. She reaches over to pull some sticky tape from a dispenser, but gets into a tangle with it, eventually wrenching a length free of the dispenser and using it to stick the wrapping paper down. Now she's standing, listening to the radio.
You're listening to the Firestone Hour with me, Richard Crooks, on the NBC radio network. We have a caller on line one, Mrs. Edna Hoffman of New Jersey. Go ahead, Edna.
Mr. Crooks, would you play Brahms's Lullaby?
I'd love to. For anyone in particular?
My son, Samuel. He's a flight navigator. He's missing in action over Germany.
Our hearts go out to you today, Edna, and we'll all be thinking of Samuel.
Jimmy, I'd like you to have this hand delivered for me, and I'm going to grab one of these cabs.
Sure.
Florence climbs into a yellow cab, which takes her down a quiet street of slightly downbeat tenement blocks. Record in hand, she climbs out of the cab. Cosme's lifting weights in his dingy apartment.
Hey, McMoore! You got a visitor!
All right!
Thank you very much. I hope I'm not disturbing you, Mr. McMoon.
Oh, Madam Florence!
I was out and about, I suddenly realized I was in your neighborhood.
What a happy coincidence.
Indeed.
Is Mr. Mayfield with you?
No. May I come in?
Sure.
I've brought you our recording.
Gee, thank you, Madam Florence.
You're very welcome. You haven't done your dishes, Mr. McMoon. Would you like me to do them for you?
No, you don't need to do that, Madam Florence.
Well, they'll not wash themselves, will they? Mm. I'll make you a deal. I'll wash your dishes if you play something for me. How about that?
Madam Florence, I can...
We have a deal, Mr. McMoon?
What shall I play?
Anything you like.
Florence busies herself at the sink.
That's such a pretty melody. Is it yours?
Yes.
Oh. Where's the more? You inspire me. I shall write some lyrics for you.
Oh, wonderful.
The birds in the trees in the...
Madam Florence, do you mind if I ask how you met Mr. Mayfield?
Oh, well... I was performing in a musicale at the Waldorf, 1919, and I was wearing a violet velvet gown. I looked out at the audience and I saw a man with the most beautiful smile I'd ever seen. He had an aristocratic bearing. After that, of course, his grandfather was an earl, you know.
Doesn't that make him an earl, too?
Well, he wasn't on the legitimate line. Nothing for him in England. So he came here and became an actor. He wasn't always successful. Had to hide the reviews occasionally. You play so beautifully, Mr. McMoon.
Ah.
You know, I played for the president when I was 8 years old.
Really?
Yes, I played at the White House.
Really?
Little Miss Foster, they called me. And I had a very high hopes of becoming a concert pianist myself. But then when the nerves were damaged in my left hand, that was not to be.
That's too bad. What happened to your hand?
Oh, it was just the...
She knocks a knife to the floor. Cosme quickly covers it up.
I'm sorry. I'm a silly woman.
No. Would you like a glass of water?
He brings her one. She takes it and gulps it down. Then she holds out the empty glass.
When Mr. Bayfield is away playing golf, the days can seem awfully long. I understand that he needs his sport, but I miss him.
She looks down tearfully.
I miss him terribly.
He'll be back soon, Madame Florence. He's devoted to you. He told me so.
Oh.
You okay?
Well, it's just the change in temperature. You know, it can be very painful. So, do you know the prelude in E minor, Chopin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. That one?
Mm-hmm.
As she plays with her right hand, he adds in the left hand. She smiles softly up at him as they play together. Sinclair and Kathleen are sitting in amongst the long grasses near the beach on a picnic blanket. He rolls her over onto her back, kissing her. Now they're walking hand in hand across a field. Their open-topped car pulls up outside Kathleen's apartment block. They climb out. Inside, Kathleen turns on the light, setting down her suitcase. Sinclair comes in after her.
Drink?
Rather.
Let me just take your bags, madam. And may I say what lovely legs you have, madam.
Relaxing in an armchair, she turns on the light and the radio.
Sinclair, come in here.
Now, one moment.
Sinclair.
What?
His face falls, and he rubs a hand over his hair and covers his mouth in dismay.
How did she get on the radio?
That was Florence Foster Jenkins singing Like a Bird by Cosme McMoon. We're getting quite a few calls on that one. We have Ed calling from the military hospital in
Spain. How did Richard Crooks
get... Ed, you're on the air.
Mr. Crooks, the guy's here. We all love that record. I lost my left leg and half my face at Guadalcanal, but that dame's got me feeling happy to be alive. Can you play it again? And please tell us where we can find her record.
I don't think it's for sale. It's a private recording.
Oh, thank goodness you're here, Mr. Bayfield. Things have been going crazy. It's difficult when you're away.
Yes, I'm very sorry. Tell me this. How did Richard Crooks get the record?
She gave it to him. He's been playing it all weekend. The phone's been ringing off the hook with people wanting a copy. Cole Porter called. It put Madame Florence into one of her excited moods.
I'll talk to her.
She's not here. She's at a meeting.
With?
Mr. Totten.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sinclair hurries back out. Now he's at Carnegie Hall, running up the steps and through the doors.
Aha! Mr. Bayfield, how good to see you.
And you, Mr. Totten. Is Madame Florence here?
She's in the hall.
Oh, thank you.
You have a moment?
Yes, in a jiffy.
Sinclair hurries off up the stairs and opens a door leading into the back of the empty auditorium. He walks down the aisle to a middle row of plush red seats where he finds Florence.
Do I see a pair of rabbit ears?
Oh, Whitey.
Funny.
How was the golf?
It was nice enough, thank you.
Good.
He puts an arm around her.
This is my favorite place in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to sing here.
Uh-huh.
I've booked the hall for October 25th. And I'm going to give 1,000 tickets away to the soldiers. Because we must support our boys.
Well, I applaud your courage. And no one would enjoy seeing you triumph here more than I, obviously. But this place is just, it's so big, you know. It's nearly 3,000 people.
Well, Lily Ponza's voice filled it. She's just a little bird.
Yes, but she's a young woman with a young woman's strength and perfect technique.
Florence looks away.
My technique isn't perfect.
No, it is, but I just think this might be too much for you.
Well, if Mr. Churchill had adopted that attitude, why, here, Hitler would be standing on the balcony at Buckingham Palace, howling like a Doberman as we speak.
You're not strong enough, Bunny. What if it kills you?
Oh, then I shall die happy. Death has been my constant companion for almost 50 years. I've lived day to day, never knowing with my body if it will succumb or my mind, my reason desert me. But I've fought, and I've fought, and I've fought. And I'm still here. And I'm going to sing here.
But have I not stood by you?
If you truly love me, you'll let me sing here.
Sinclair smiles uncomfortably, pulling her a little closer. He frowns to himself, then kisses her on the forehead. Now he's with Kathleen.
It was a lovely weekend.
It was. We must do it again.
Yes, we must. Darling, please don't look so out of sorts.
Sorry.
She might change her mind, you know.
Yeah, I very much doubt that.
Well, let's just try and be happy tonight, eh?
And I'm trying.
Yes, we certainly are.
You see, I just feel that if we had not gone away, none of this would have ever happened. It's completely my fault. So.
In the busy bar, a couple of men run over to the record player with a disc.
Play, Kent.
They fall about laughing.
It's Florence. They've got her record.
It's gone.
Darling, ignore them.
I'm not ignore them.
Well, this is our night out, Sinclair.
Oh, so you think that I should just sit here and have a jolly drink with you while human vermin laughs at my wife? Is that what you think?
You will sit down, or so help me God, I will leave you, Sinclair. Do you understand?
He strides over to the group.
Excuse me. You have absolutely no right to do this. This is a private recording. It is not yours.
Hey, Antonio! Hey,
don't this guy think take your Philistine hands off me. Give it to me or I will call a police.
They bundle him away. Smoothing down his ruffled hair, Sinclair comes back to his table to find Kathleen gone. Out on the street, Kathleen's hailing a cab. Just as one pulls up, Sinclair spots her.
Kathleen, wait!
But the cab drives away, with her in it. Daytime, and Sinclair comes to find Cosme in his apartment.
I cannot play Carnegie Hall with Madame Florence. Maybe you could speak to Mr. Totten. Tell him it's not such a great idea. Surely he'd understand.
It's too late.
She's given 1,000 tickets to the War Veterans Association.
What did Kathleen say?
Kathleen has left me.
Oh. Geez, I'm so sorry. That's awful.
Please. Cosme. Will you do it?
Mr. Mayfield, I am a serious pianist. I have ambition.
You think that I didn't have ambition? I was a good actor, but I was never going to be a great actor. It was very, very hard to admit that to myself. But once I had, I felt free from the tyranny of ambition. I started to live. Is ours not a happy world, Cosme? Do we not have fun?
Please, Mr. Bayfield.
You see, we have to help her, because without loyalty, there's nothing.
We'll be murdered out there.
You think that I'm not aware of that? For 25 years, I have kept the mockers and scoffers at bay. I'm very well aware of what they might do. But Florence has been my life. I love her, and I think you love her, too. Hmm? Singing at Carnegie Hall is her dream. And I'm going to give it to her. The only question now is whether you will stand by your patron and friend in her hour of need, or whether you will focus on your ambition.
Cosme shakes his head.
Please, Cosme. Will you play with your friend?
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, golly, gosh.
Oh, come on, you're going to play at Carnegie Hall. How many people can say that?
Oh, boy, we're going to die out there.
Carnegie Hall, lit up at night. Crowds are swarming into the hall for Florence's performance. Amongst them, a large number of soldiers and sailors.
It's Cole Porter. And Tallulah Bankhead.
Miss Bankhead, Mr. Porter, what an honor.
Tallulah blows a kiss.
Don't let anyone in who's drunk.
They're all drunk.
Me included.
And from the diaphragm, Bunny. And again, lower. From the diaphragm, Bunny. Huh? Blow the candles out. Hate the candles.
I don't know. Where is Cosme?
He will be very, very late. Bunny, you must relax.
What if he's dead?
He has never been late. He will not let us...
Oh, here he is. Oh, my goodness me.
Oh, Colonel. Could I speak to Madame Florence for a moment, Mr. Bayfield?
Of course, please. Bunny, it's the Colonel.
Yes. Oh, Colonel. I hope the house is warming up nicely.
It sure is, Madame Florence. I'm not surprised. You're the talk of the town.
She sold out faster than Sinatra.
I don't doubt it. On behalf of the Marine Corps, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the free tickets. The boys are very grateful.
Given the sacrifices you have made, it's the very least I can do.
Some things are worth dying for.
You take the words right out of my mouth. Colonel, you'll forgive me. I must prepare.
Of course. Break a leg.
Thank you so much. Oh,
that's what you say, isn't it?
Yes, yes, of course. I'll try.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you. Those were kind words.
Now, we are 10 minutes away from going on stage.
Bunny, you must relax.
Where is he?
You must relax.
Where is Cosme? Cosme!
The grand piano sits on the stage as soldiers and sailors pile excitedly into the auditorium. They all wave and whistle at Tallulah Bankhead as she enters on Cole Porter's arm. Some of Florence's elderly friends look a little intimidated by the raucous crowd as they make their way to their seats. Totten looks at the crowd, anxiously checking his watch. Augustus is with a female friend. Florence's elderly friends take their seats near the front. Backstage...
Where is that silly... Silly boy.
Well, I don't have an answer, Bunny. I wish I did. We know the traffic is terrible, and I'm sure he'll be here any moment.
Here,
my briefcase. I want you to listen.
Mr. Bayfield, half the audience is drunk.
Well, you were told about the soldiers. What did you expect?
But this is Carnegie Hall.
They took the money, though, I noticed.
Listen to that. They're hoodlums.
Hoodlums. Hoodlums, as you call them, Mr. Totten, who have been risking their lives for our country. And I would be grateful if you show them the respect that they deserve.
Madam Florence, they're tearing the place apart. You must go on.
My pianist has been shot.
Shh. Then you'll have to sing a cappella.
There is no question of Madam...
Where have you been?
I got jumped by a bunch of sailors. They were most disrespectful.
They'd straighten you up. 5 minutes, please, Mr. Totten.
Not a second longer, please.
Shh.
The Starks have arrived.
The lights. Oh.
Oh, for God's sake, Agnes. Cover yourself up.
The glamorous Agnes struts past the armed forces, reveling in the attention. Trailing her fur behind her, she wiggles her curves to the delight of the watching men. Phineas beckons her over.
What?
Behave yourself. All right, all right. Seeing everything you're gonna see.
Oh, God, what a grouch.
Read your program.
Hey.
Read your program.
You're right.
Sinclair peers through the peephole at the excitable audience.
Well, it's quite a house, buddy. I spy Cole Porter in the front row, no less.
Cole Porter?
Lula Bankhead is here.
Oh, my hat. What have I done? I can't do it, Wiley. I can't go on that stage. I can't. It's a terrible mistake.
She has to go on.
Just a moment, please, Mr. Totten.
No, thank you.
Goodbye.
Listen to me, Bunny. No. Listen. Those men out there, they've seen horrors. Their bodies have been smashed. Their minds torn to shreds. They need joy. They need music. You can heal them, Bunny. That is your purpose. Believe it. Believe.
I'm afraid.
Don't be. They're going to love you.
He smiles. Then Cosme comes over.
You'll be great, Madam Florence. We can do it.
Florence stares up at Cosme, a smile spreading across her face.
Jenny, may I have my briefcase, please? And a pen, anyone?
Madam Florence, you must go on now.
I'm adding a codicil to my will. Because I would like you to have a little something when I die, Cosme.
Thank you, Madam Florence.
Mr. Totten, do you mind witnessing right here? Right here.
He scribbles his signature.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not at all. Now, will you please go on?
She puts the will back in her briefcase.
Jenny.
Ready? House lights down, please, Mr. Totten. Now then, little Miss Foster. Make me proud.
He presses his lips to her cheek, and the lights go down in the auditorium. Cosme strides onto the stage and over to the piano. Florence waits in the wings, dressed in a fussy ivory beaded dress and lace veil. Cosme nods to the audience, then sits at the piano. Florence gestures to him to start playing. She covers her face with her veil, then struts onto the stage and over towards the piano. Cosme looks at Florence and nods for her to begin. Smiles spread across the faces of the soldiers. Totten and Sinclair watch from the wings, their expressions a mixture of dismay and worry. Florence looks at the audience in confusion. She glances at Cosme, who bites his lip and continues to play with a determined expression. Then she looks at Sinclair.
Good work, Mr. Bayfield.
He shakes his head, and Florence turns back to the crowd, bewildered and tearful. Suddenly, Agnes gets to her feet.
Hey! Give the dame a break! She's singing her heart out!
Yeah! And her heart sounds like a dying cat!
A cat dying?
Hey, she can't sing!
You kiss your mother with that mess that you asked him! Shame on you! Shame on all of you! You better cheer, assholes! Cheer! Cheer! Bravo!
Bravo, Madame Florence! Bravo!
In the wings, Sinclair looks at Totten.
Jump on your feet, bravo! Come on! Cheer!
Agnes turns to Florence with a smile.
Sing, Madame Florence!
You're beautiful!
I know.
I love you! Sing! Bravo!
The whole audience gets to their feet. Even the soldiers and sailors get up, applauding. Florence stares out at them with a look of growing delight. Then she looks over at Cosme, who grins with a shrug.
Sing! Sing, Madame Florence! Sing!
Sing! Sing!
Sing,
sing, sing,
sing, sing, Bunny! Sing!
Florence looks at Sinclair and nods. As Cosme begins to play, everyone sits down. Some sailors stifle their chuckles. In the audience, Earl Wilson shakes his head. Shaking his head again, Wilson gets to his feet to make his way out. Sinclair's smile disappears as he sees him leaving. Quickly, Sinclair hurries out. On stage, Florence does a little jig and hops in a circle, lifting the skirts of her elaborate costume.
Mr. Wilson, are you leaving already?
Here you are, sir.
She's only just started.
I've heard enough. Thank you.
Oh, she just needed a little warming up, that's all. Listen to her.
And your coat, sir.
I have never seen such a pathetic, vainglorious display of egotism in my life. That you encouraged Mrs. Jenkins to make a spectacle of herself is quite simply unforgivable.
Will you be writing something?
Yes, and it will be the truth.
Isn't the truth that a lot of hurt people are having some fun? Did you not notice?
Music is important. It should not be mocked.
How dare you? She has done more for the musical life of this city than anyone, and that includes you.
Do you mind?
Sinclair hurries down the stairs after Wilson.
You're nothing but a jumped-up hack. Name your price, Wilson.
What is it?
100?
Is it 200?
$300, that's my final offer.
You're insane.
500. Listen! Listen to them, hack!
Now Florence has changed into a black dress with a tiara of shimmering stars. Their ears. The audience jump to their feet.
Congratulations, Madame Florence.
Oh, thank you, Kitty.
The phone hasn't stopped ringing.
Oh, hasn't it?
Now you are pooped, Bunny. Straight to bed, or I shall be very, very cross.
Oh, yes, all right. Well, Mr. McMoon, I did it. And good night.
Good night.
And you'll come kiss me. Good
night. Of course I will. Yeah.
Come.
Laden with flowers, Cosme follows Sinclair. Cosme puts the flowers in Florence's briefcase down. Then he starts to laugh.
I played Carnegie Hall. Oh, God darn it, Mr. Bayfield, Cosme McMoon from San Antonio, Texas, played Carnegie Hall.
And he was brilliant.
Utterly, utterly
brilliant.
We did it.
Yes, I think we did. Mud in your eye.
They both sip their whiskies.
Thank you, Mr. Bayfield. Thank you for everything.
Oh, don't thank me. Oh, I had the night of my life. Down in one. Go.
Sinclair downs his. Later, Cosme's fallen asleep on the sofa.
Kitty, would you mind bringing a blanket? Mr. McMoon is staying the night.
Of course. Madame Florence is already asleep.
Oh. Good, good. I'll get on then.
Good night, Mr. Bayfield.
As Sinclair takes his coat off its hook and heads for the front door, Florence appears at her bedroom door.
Kitty said you were asleep.
No. You will buy the papers in the morning, won't you?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Stay the night.
In bed, Sinclair kisses her, and they lie side by side.
I love you so, Sinclair.
I love you, my bunny rabbit.
She strokes his arm as he lies on top of the covers beside her. Morning, and papers are delivered to the newspaper stand. Sinclair awakes, still in his clothes on top of the covers. Slowly and quietly, he eases himself off the bed. He looks back at Florence, who's still asleep, and checks his watch. He goes through to the living room, where Cosme's asleep under a blanket on the sofa.
Wake up. Wake up. Cosme.
He throws open the curtains. Now they're both outside, hurrying across the street to the newspaper stand.
Post this. Thank you.
He flicks to Wilson's scathing article about Florence's performance.
Oh, God.
She must never see this. I'd like every copy of the Post that you have, please.
But I got regular customers.
I'm sure they'll manage.
I think so, too.
I'd also like to bugle the News and the Correspondent.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sinclair dumps them all in the bin.
Madame Jenkins' performance conquers Carnegie Hall.
Oh, my hat!
Only the night before at Carnegie Hall, Sinatra entertained 3,000 of his Bobby Sox followers.
The piece was spiteful, vicious, and wholly inaccurate, and it has caused a great deal of upset. Well, do I need to remind you that Madame Florence is a very close personal friend of Arturo Toscanini's? It would be such a pity if the Post were excluded from Carnegie Hall. Thank you for your understanding, Mr. Thackeray. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I bought up every copy of the Post within two blocks.
Well done, and I very much doubt that the piece will be in the afternoon edition, so a few more hours and we're in the clear.
Jenkins wore a series of extraordinary costumes of great elegance and beauty.
Wacky. Read the thing about the simultaneous something.
But even their simultaneous reflexes were as nothing compared to the applause and community spirit afforded Madame Jenkins.
Oh, bravo, funny.
And all the reviews are just terrific.
Yeah.
But no Post.
I don't think they covered the concert.
Oh, Post always covers Carnegie Hall.
Well, then I shall find a copy. Now, are you sure you should be getting up? You must be so tired.
The Baroness and some of the others are gathering for lunch downstairs. I'm going to join them.
Now, Florence, that's really not a good idea.
What on earth is the matter with you today?
Well, after the first half, I was pooped.
Oh! Your voice was as fresh as the morning dew to the very last, Florence.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember such a wonderful
life. Sinclair's spotted someone with a copy of The Post. Cosme spots it too.
I was offered $20 for mine.
As the man walks over to a table, Sinclair watches him open up the paper. He gestures to Cosme to head over.
Excuse me. What was the high point of the evening for you, Mr. Bayfield?
I'm sorry, Baroness, what did you say?
What was the high point of the evening for you?
Well, there were so many.
No, it was your Queen of the Night aria, Florence.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh,
thank you. Sinclair glances over at Cosme talking to the man.
No, you can't have it.
Like a butterfly.
Excuse me, ladies.
Mr.
Sinclair heads over.
I realise this is absurd, but is there any way we could persuade you to part with your newspaper?
Well, no, you couldn't. This one's mine.
How much?
What is going on? I'm not taking your money.
$50.
Well, if you insist.
Thank you so very much. It's very, very nice of you. Get rid of it.
Sinclair heads back to the table.
Where's Florence?
She's gone to powder her nose.
Aha. Thank you.
She's gone to powder her nose, Mr. Bayfield.
Oh, quite.
My great niece isn't married.
You mean the podiatrist?
What, with the lovely hands?
As Florence is walking down the hall.
Madam Florence, it's you.
Oh.
We saw your show at Carnegie Hall last night.
It was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've never laughed so hard.
My ribs are still aching.
You have an enormous comic talent, Mrs. Foster Jenkins.
It was so funny.
Oh, thank you very much. I must be on. Good afternoon to you.
And don't pay any attention to that review.
That hack knows absolutely nothing.
Florence's look of puzzlement turns to one of realization.
Well, my second cousin twice removed has been married twice before, and both times it was a complete disaster.
But you're not putting her forward.
Is everything all right, Mr. Bayfield?
I think I just need a little air. Excuse me, ladies.
The Post, please.
I'm sorry, lady, all sold out.
Already? How come?
You won't believe it. This guy comes by this morning, takes all the copies I got. An Englishman.
What'd he look like?
Not tall. You know, your gentleman type.
Why'd he buy all of them?
I don't know. $20 he gives me, and he dumps them in the trash.
Florence walks off towards the bin. Sinclair strides through reception to the powder room, then comes out again and picks up the phone.
708.
Florence has found a copy of The Post in the bin. Digging it out, she turns to Wilson's column and puts on her spectacles. She stands by the bin in the busy street, reading. Then she looks all around, looking shocked, distraught, and embarrassed. She stumbles absent-mindedly onto the busy road. Cars stop and drive round her. Then she hurries across the road to the hotel. She lurches into the foyer and collapses onto the marble floor, the paper falling from her hands. Sinclair rushes over.
Bunny, it's me, it's why. Get a doctor, quickly. My darling, it's me.
It's me, my precious. I'm going to turn you over. Speak to me, Bunny. Please. Please, my darling.
Where's the doctor?
A newspaper article, headlined, Foster Jenkins Gravely Ill. Cosme's playing the piano gently. He closes his eyes as he plays. Then he opens them again. In the bedroom, Sinclair is sitting by Florence's bed. She's lying asleep, wearing one of her turbans, her face pale. Slowly, her eyes flicker open, and she looks at Sinclair.
Bunny. Bunny. It's me. Bunny. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Suddenly panicked, she tries to sit up. He helps her to lie back down.
Rest, my beautiful. Rest.
She looks at him gravely.
Was everyone laughing at me the whole time?
I was never laughing at you. Yours is the truest voice I have ever heard.
She smiles weakly at him. As Cosme plays, she imagines herself singing. Florence mouths the words as she sees herself bathed in golden light in her angel costume, singing her heart out to rapturous applause. She remembers her and Cosme bowing to a standing ovation. On stage, she reaches her hand out to Sinclair in the wings. He shakes his head, but she insists, beckoning him out. He walks on stage, smiling nervously at the audience, and going to take Florence's hand. Then he too bows, alongside Florence and Cosme. In her bed, Florence shuts her eyes, and Kitty and Cosme approach the bedroom door.
People may say I couldn't sing, but no one can say I didn't sing.
Sinclair grins at her, and Cosme smiles tearfully.
Bravo, my love. Mm. Bravo.
Florence blinks, her breathing slowing. Then, slowly, she shuts her eyes. A memory of Sinclair letting go of her satin-gloved hand on stage, allowing her to take all the applause for herself. She smiles over at him through tear-filled eyes. Then she sinks into a deep curtsy for the audience again. a black and white photo of the real Florence in her angel costume. Florence Foster Jenkins, 1868 to 1944. One of the most requested programmes from the Carnegie Hall archive is for the concert given by Florence Foster Jenkins. The records she made for Mellotone became their biggest seller.
Do you want to try another take?
Well, I don't see why. That seemed perfect to me.
Cosme McMoon's career as a pianist never surpassed his performances with Florence. He developed an interest in bodybuilding and judged a number of competitions before his death in 1980. Sinclair Bayfield continued to support the musical life of New York City as best he could, living modestly until his death in 1967.